see if it's going here. There, you can advance me, please. It's not. Does not want to obey. It would be good if I turned it on. That's why. Sorry about that. So I'm going to change glasses so I can read my notes. This is our, as I mentioned before, this is our whole series right now, and we're on number 4, that everything was good. We're going to talk a little bit more about what happens after the fall. I'm going to talk a little bit about, or at the fall itself, I'm going to talk a little bit about that and to contrast what the good part was in a little bit. But we're going to mostly focus on Genesis 1. So if you could turn your Bibles to Genesis 1, and we're going to read pretty much through the whole chapter to get the whole background here. So please turn there, because this will be the only part I'm actually going to show you. So we know about this part. What's the first 3 words? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. So God did some creating there. He built light. He created light, so the light we see flashing in our eyes, the lights on the screen, the light that we can see with. It's light is pretty cool. Well, I would call it, in our anacronym, you know, we might say, oh, it's good. It's pretty cool. I like light. I like being able to see. I like flashlights, and I like flashy lights. I like the sun. It helps me see. It helps me live. So what other properties does light have? Now I'm asking you, what? It shows us in the darkness. What other things? It's warmth. Very good. What other maybe scientific properties does it have? It's fast. 300 kilometers per second in vacuum. Shiny. Very good. Can't coexist with darkness. Very good. Or really, darkness is the absence of light, right? Very good. What else? Has colors. We can see different colors. We can see light, the spectrum. Anything else? It's bright. It has intensity, propagation, direction, frequency, wavelength, and polarization are all parts of light. In fact, it is considered one of the fundamental constants of nature. It's the first thing he created. Another interesting phenomenon, I always thought this was interesting, it has almost no mass. Light has no mass as a particle. A photon has almost no mass. It responds to, but yet it responds to physical things. What can light, what can we do? It can be what? Reflected, refracted, or bent. It can be dispersed. It's pretty cool. It's one of the, I think it's the only thing that has both wave and particle properties, right? It's the only particle that has that both those properties. We measure it in terms of wavelength, but also it has particle properties. It can be refracted, bent, and those types of things. So gravity affects light, right? That's pretty cool. I'd say that's good. That's good. God started with that and said that it was good. You know, in light, the speed of light, actually, if you take the three this is not in my notes, so I hope I remember the Planck's equations, the three major equations of gravity and thermodynamics, and then you break them down together, the remaining element is light, the speed of light, c. That's interesting. No one knows what that means, though. I don't know what it means. It's like, that's pretty, we don't, if you do that, that's pretty cool, but why does that happen? God started with that, and he said that it was good. Now, the Hebrew word, I'm not going to show it to you today, but it's pretty straightforward. It's kind of like, it's very similar to the English word good. It's tube. T-O-O-B is how you might pronounce it. It's actually spelled in kind of the vernacular English, T-O with a little hat on it, B, and I don't have that up there today, but it's pretty straightforward. It's tube, tube. It's very, very nice. I like saying it, tube, tube, tube. Very, very nice short word. That was tube. That's pretty cool. Now it's going to become like it could end up being a slang, like a slang or something. That's so tube, man. It means good, pleasant, well, better, right, or best. It's very basically good is the best, definitely the best match for it. It's common. It doesn't have any moral implications to it. It's not in this, even in here, it's not particularly different than the other ways it's used throughout the Bible. It has no moral implications either with it, and it's until it is contrasted with the word evil, then it has moral implications. So, and we'll get to that later. So God created a good world. He says that he says that then something happens. He says that, and then whenever he says that, then something kind of happens. So he created this good world, and we will talk about the before, the change. We're going to talk about all the different goods, and we're going to do that together. And then what happened? Why did it? What gave it up? What changed about it? And we're going to, what I will hope to do is give you guys a different perspective, kind of take you through the perspective that I kind of went through on this, and where we are now, what has happened. So we're going to go through all these good things, and we're going to talk about the master craftsman, how he built all these good things. And when you think about the master craftsman, I want you to think about things that you have built and how you have perceived your own work. When you work on something and how, when you stand back and look at it, how you feel about that. And then we'll talk about how death entered the world real briefly, because Dean's going to talk about that more next week. And then how, where we are at now, how we're living on the planet where both good and evil exist concurrently. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank you so much for this time, and ask that you would bless it. Lord, use it. Master craftsman, we want to know why it was good. What's good about what you've done? And we understand where we are now and how we can really act in that world and this planet that you've set us on. We ask that you would really show us something new that we haven't experienced before, even today, maybe about ourselves. In your name we pray. Amen. So, in going through what the master craftsman, there are many other verses like this, but near the end of the Bible, he's praised, the Lord is praised, and says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of you, your will, they existed and were created." So all of the honor goes to God for this creation as we kind of go this. This is, again, from the end of the Bible. It's where John is stating, again, the obvious. So why we worship here? Why do we come to church? Why do we come together in unity? Why do we do it? Because of this. What I want to start or focus on at first is what did God do at the beginning? And what were the result was according to him? So we started with light, and I'll kind of review that verse here. This is Genesis. I'm not going to show you these verses. I'm going to read them, or I'm going to ask maybe some of you guys to read them. So here's the first one. We learned that light, which is in verses 4 through 5. And this is where he says, and we're going to focus on just where God says, and it was good, or he saw that it was good. Or he might even say at the very end, we're going to learn that he says very good. So that gets the excellent super tube, right? So I'm going to read this. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. We already talked about that, how God started with light and contrasted with darkness indeed, but he called that light good. Have you ever built anything? Shouldn't stop there. I assume that you've built at least something. Worked on maybe a model or something you were proud of, and you kind of stood back and said, "All right, that's pretty cool. That's good. I did that. That's good." And the feeling that you get when you accomplish something, it's like, wow, this worked out well. Maybe it was a project or something maybe you did at work. And you look back and you go, yeah. Like maybe it was a deck or something. It's like, wow, now I can sit on my deck, you know, and look at the, and say, that's good, you know. you may tweak it here and there, and you know, it's never good enough. You know, you ever do that? It's like, oh no, I missed the spot here. You know, and you fix it here and fix it there. Okay, now that it's good, except for that, I'll check it. And then you do that. You know, I do that all the time. You kind of perfectionist little thing. But God stood back, and the masterpiece said, "That's good. Light is good enough. I don't want to change it anymore. That's light enough, right?" So what was next? And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So it sounds like there's two waters there. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, a second day. So this is the end of the second day. He's working on water here. So what are some properties of water? H2O. It's wet. Excellent. What are other properties? It's liquid. What else? Three states. Very good. Do you know it's the only compound that exists in nature in all three states? Only one. In liquid, solid, and steam. In nature. Only one. What else? You don't have to raise your hand, just say it. It's yummy. Well, okay. It's good. It's good for us. What was that? It's refreshing. We need it to live. Used to be that, I remember when I was growing up, it used to be, we used to believe that our bodies were made up of 95% or 99% water. They've since changed that, and now I think it's more accurate to say somewhere between 55 and 78% of the human body is water. Well, I'd say we'd need that to live, right? You guys are right about that. Water's pretty cool. Another one, it's the only common substance found naturally in all three common states of matter, and is essential. It is essential for all life on Earth. All life. No life could exist without water. Many substances dissolve in water and is commonly referred to as the universal solvent, right? You see that in chemistry labs. We need water to do that. Room temperature is tasteless and odorless and nearly colorless with a hint of blue. That's what they said. It is in dynamic equilibrium between the liquid and gas states, as it is the standard we use for temperature and pressure. Right? That's what we use water, inches water column, right? We do use other things too, like inches mercury and so on, but water is the standard that we use. What's that? We can cook noodles in water. It's the most abundant liquid. Thank goodness for that, because there wouldn't be any spaghetti. So, thank you. That's right. There's a lot of other things that we can think of. It is the most abundant compound on Earth's surface, covering 70% of the planet. And God does say about water, and if someone could, I'm going to call on you to maybe read some verses here. So, could someone read verses 9 and 10? Anybody? Just start reading. Oh, Foster wins. Thank you. So he makes water, earth, seas, lots of land and water. He steps back, the master builder, and says, "That looks good. That's good. Everything's in balance. Water is right for the next step, and the land is ready for the next step." So do we stop here? No. Time for the living stuff to be on earth. Someone else started to speak, so they should get a chance to read, whoever it was. Thank you. Finish with verse 13. And then there was evening and there was morning, and that was the end of the third day. And God made plants that reproduce and grow, right? And some have fruit. I like fruit, right? We talk about we have to balance our diet with fruit and vegetables and meat and so on. What are some properties of plants? They're green. That's important, actually. They have roots. Excellent. They're the only living thing that can make their own food. That's good because there isn't any food before that time, right? There's no food available. It's the only thing that can make their own food. What do plants need? What three things do plants need to grow? The three things that God made: light, water, and soil. Isn't that interesting? All leaves perform photosynthesis. All plants perform photosynthesis on some level to live, so they produce their own food. Thank you very much. That was awesome. Need light, and you need light for that. Photosynthesis, by the way, has never been reproduced in the laboratory. It can't be done right now. It's never been done. It's been done on computers, but not in the laboratory. We can't reproduce that. It's a good thing that the water and the light and the soil were already there. Whew! Plants are pretty awesome. God says, steps back and says, that's good. I like plants. They have fruit on them. Why would they need fruit on there? The fruit doesn't do anything for the plant other than, you know, reproduce. You have the seeds that reproduce for the next thing, but the fruit part really wouldn't have been necessary. But they make food that's necessary for the next step. And could someone read verses 14 through 19? So there's a little bit of, the two great lights, most agree is the sun and the moon. Now, there's some that disagree with that, but let's, for the moment, just say that that's true. So there was light before the sun and the moon, and then kind of as an afterthought, there's this, you know, stars, you know, all those stars out there, that's kind of nice, you know, which involves many, you know, hundreds of millions of light years and lots of bodies floating around and so on. But let's just start with, you know, just really quickly, you know, the sun is pretty, I wouldn't say it's pretty cool because it's not cool, it's hot, right? But it provides light and what else? Warmth. What else does the sun provide? Energy. Gravity. Something for the earth to orbit around. Seasons, right? Because our distance from the earth changes the seasons, at least in this area. Could life exist without the sun? No, absolutely not. We know that for a fact, right? With just by itself, it's pretty good. Let's talk about the moon. What do we know about the moon? Not as shiny. Tides, it brings tides. Do you know that life could not exist without tides? It could not. Absolutely not, because the water would stagnate and kill everything. The moon is absolutely essential. It's essential that it's the size that it is, where it is. We can see at night. Someone said it's not as dark. What else? How do we use it for the calendar? Right, for the months of the year, 30 days. Do you know that today is a particularly important day for the moon? Today's a supermoon, right? Today is the supermoon. It's also a blue moon, right? Red or blue? Red. Okay, it's a red moon. Ooh. Okay. Some said the blue moon, but it's a red moon, and is it a harvest moon too? Yes. And it's an eclipse. All those things, four or five things, right? Woo! A lot of things for the moon. That's pretty cool. What about stars? And it's kind of mentioned as an afterthought here. What do we use stars for? Navigation, passing of seasons. It's used for calendars. Some mythology is used in the stars. It's how we located our own planet, so we know where we are. And they're pretty cool to look at, right? Pretty. They're nice. It's like, wow, that's... If they weren't there, you just go, darkness. Oh, that's boring. Where are we? So the master builder looks back and says, those are good. Someone read verses 20 through 23 for me. Just go ahead and... 20 through 23. I have a hummingbird feeder. I have two feeders. One is the regular bird feeder, which the birds all fight over. And then there's a hummingbird feeder. And I get so excited when the hummingbirds come because they don't come out too often. I don't think they come out when other birds are there. They're like, you know, snotty or something. But they don't like it when the other birds are there. And you just watch them, and it's like a little bug, so small. And what was amazing to me as I was kind of watching, first they can, there's almost in stasis, you know, like flying in stasis, but the speed at which they can accelerate their wings is absolutely, I can't imagine how you would engineer something like that. So, because it's not just they get up to speed, it's instantly they're moving at 1800 RPM. They're like, you know, amazing to me. And the Lord made that. Fish and birds, and that reproduce on their own. Fortunately that there's this plants that can feed them with their own fruit. That's good that's there, and all the water and soil and everything that they can live on. This is the first time God blesses his work. He actually says, he blessed them and say, be fruitful and multiply. Now, I don't know if that the response was, okay, you know, that they went and did that. But, you know, sounds like unplanned. So, and sounds like there was more than just two of each, but we really don't know that for sure. And also, he says there's sea monsters. Now, what those are, we don't really know, other than they're called sea monsters in this text. But those could be whales, those could be, you know, octopus or whatever those might be. It could be all of them. And we don't have time to go into that, but just that's part of this expanse and so on. The master builder looks and sees that what he has done and declares, it is good. So what's next here? Someone could read 24 through 25 for me. Thank you. We had the creatures of the sky, or the water, excuse me, and the sky, and now we move to the animals and the creatures of the earth, the creeping things, and it could be worms and bugs and things like that we think are icky. Cows, you know, it's interesting, it mentions cattle first and then all the other beasts, which suggests, why to specifically call that out? Well, I think it's because this is what man's going to use. Who's coming, right? He's going to use cattle. Didn't say cows, but cattle. Well, cattle is a word for someone's going to come and use them as cattle, right? So, and everything else, and all those other things, all those other animals, the beasts, etc. And the master builder looks back and said, that's good. Look at all those things I made. And then we get to the final creation, and this is the part I'm going to go ahead and read. And this is 26 to 31. And I realize, I'm sorry, I had all this PowerPoint to move forward on. And it looks like it's not moving. There it goes. So there was the water. We did the plants and vegetation. That's what we read, right? And we... Come on, girl. We'll get there. There we go. Sun, moon, and stars. And he said that was good. And I think this battery might be dying. Oh, yeah, it says the battery's dying. So someone could advance me. Thank you. Dave, don't get up. I'm okay. Thank you. Fish and birds, cattle and beasts. So what's next here? And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Boy, that statement right there, really hammering it home, right? God blessed them. Second time he blessed them, he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was, ka-ching, very good, oops, very good, not just regular good, not regular tube, but very tube, very good, he says, very good, and it was evening, and there was the sixth day, evening and morning, and the sixth day. The us in this verse is generally accepted as the triune God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God. The Father in the beginning, and is restated in John about the Word and in verses in the verse that I just read and we're going to read later. So God makes man and woman to take care of all the stuff, the birds and chickens and things, right? And the creepy things too. Later, we get the details of how man and woman are made and how Adam names the animals and so on. But and he gave the plants for food. You notice he doesn't say, and I've given you all this beast for food too. So there's kind of a suggestion, well, there's no real death. That could be argued. There's people that fight over that one. I'm not going to get into it. But it doesn't say that the beasts are food for you at that point. This seems like a perfectly balanced world. Untainted, beautiful, balanced. There's no survival of the fittest here. Looks like it's very good. You come from that. You know, this is, if you want to say, what are my roots? There you go. We have a part of us, I think, that longs for this. And that's very good. This is at least where we came from, and God said it was very good. Well, what happened next? So we came from this very good, death enters the world, and we'll go into this a little bit more next week, but I just wanted to say this, in Genesis 2:17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat from it you shall surely die. So we know the story. Eve is tricked by the serpent. She eats it and then gives it to Adam, and then and God says... Then the Lord said, I skipped a verse, that's all right. All right, thank you. It seems to be working now. I'll just read it. Genesis 3:22, then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. So before this, there was no death. Adam and Eve were free of it. There was no destruction, no murder, no horror, no theophastic moments, no pain, no suffering. all came to be, not just knowing about evil, but experiencing it. Didn't know evil at all. Then what happens next? The very first murder occurs. Cain kills Abel, his brother. Then mankind multiplies on the earth because the blessing and the creation and the good parts are all in, still in full operation. If it wasn't, it would just die out, right? But it didn't. The stuff didn't go away. These good parts that we're talking about are still in operation. And then in 6:5, then the Lord saw a little bit later, you know, so man grow, you know, mankind grows and there's everybody in it. They get more and more wicked and the evil is really kind of intrusive into the planet. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth and the very intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. And this is where the flood happens. So that's where we get kind of a reboot of the earth, right? So in some verses call it a baptism of the earth. The earth is covered completely by water. And that was one of the things we didn't point out. Water can drown things if you get enough of it. And everybody agrees that there has been some sort of cataclysm on the earth. Everyone agrees to that. So where does that leave us now? After all that, so from that, Noah, you know, came out of the ark, and then, poof, poof, there we go, civilization. So where are we at now? We're on this planet called Earth, where PowerPoints never work because there's evil in the Earth. And we're on the planet of good and evil. We are now on this planet where we don't see all the original good. I think when we think about, we may think about, well, paradise or the original creation, we look at trees and we say, well, that's what a tree might look like, or that's what people might have looked like, or this is what they probably were like. We're just like them. Probably not. What we see now is maybe a shadow of what was created because of what happened, how it's been turned. And the earth is tainted by death and destruction. There is disease and doubt and hope and love all living together. The master builder is still there and is active in all of that. Yet he's the one doing this too. The one forming light and creating darkness is causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. He's not saying, oh yeah, it's all you guys. He's part of what's going on. And some of it maybe happens on its own. Some of it, you know, as in Job, he says, he allows it to happen. He is still there living in our world, part of what is happening. You know, suffering and calamity coexist with fun and excitement. Right? You know, and I was reading an article of that was talking about this. And in Australia, there's like 12 different animals and plants that can kill you instantly. And you, if you go to Australia, oh, let's go to Australia because it's so beautiful. Yeah, you could die like that. And it's wild. Wow. You touch, just by touching, there's 12 things that you could be killed by just touching it, even if you didn't mean to, if you stepped on it or something like that. On the beaches, in the forest or wherever you go, that's dangerous. That's not that great. You know, being a Christian, or really anyone on this earth, does not protect you from it. And I think there's somewhat, we're still susceptible to death and evil. I think sometimes we believe, well, we're Christians, so we live a good life, and we're immune. And we're not immune, because we're still living here. We're still part of it. There's still this evil part, or this suffering that has entered into the planet of good and evil. That's where we're at. There's kind of this idea that we become Christians for good or righteousness, we're immune to death and destruction part, and that's just not true. We see that in Ecclesiastes, for example. He talks, Solomon talks about that. The good happens, or the rain falls on the good and the wicked. Both die equally. Having Jesus as Lord on your car bumper does not immunize you from an accident, because accidents are part of this world. So it does announce your hope in a very good creator, though, to others. So, and as the rocks cry out, so do we, our Lord Jesus. We recognize this good. We recognize it. work, and we connect to him because of it, and that's why we worship. That's why we come together, because this is our hope that the evil will be overcome, like bad PowerPoints. There we go. And the Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you. We are part of the work. We are part of the work and shall give thanks to you, O Lord, because we recognize who did it. Yes, we're part of the evil part. That's inherent in our DNA. That's part of what is dying, but we're also part of this. Both exist, coexist at the same place, somehow balanced. And I'm not talking about, you know, the yin and yang thing. I'm talking about this is where we live. Jesus Christ is God's perfect solution to this, and to restore the good and the perfect out of what has been corrupted. We are the ones tainted by that original sin. And there's the next verse, if you could just go ahead. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die," we all die, "so also in Christ we are all made alive." That's our hope. He came to heal, not to condemn, to separate us from that evil that was tainted from his very good world. So why is there suffering? Because evil got in. Some say God is either inadequate or unloving to allow the evil and suffering. Well, they don't understand. We are the evil. So why does... we are part of that. This is kind of like the notion of the question is, well, why does God allow this evil into us good people? And the truth is, we are part of that evil. He hates the evil, but loves and wants to separate us out. His part, his work. Someone messed up my workmanship. Someone came in, look at all the good that I created, and someone messed it up. He wants to save it through that, and he did that through his son. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world. This is the next verse. Oh, right there, thank you. But that the world might be saved through him. He separates us from the evil at the cross, and he actually engages in the suffering himself. See, that's the part that is missed. It's like, well, God does allow suffering as if he's off like some CEO, not engaged in the work. He did the work, and he engaged in the suffering that we engage in every day. He himself came down at the cross and spilt his blood, suffered himself, that we might be safe. He came down into the mess like a father goes into the fray to save his own children. He is going to endure, he went down, endured the punishment and the pain we deserved, and did that to return us back to home, to the good. The very good. Being a Christian, again, does give you a glimpse into that good, into what that very good was. And if I could close with one more verse here in 1 Corinthians. Yet for us, there is no God. There is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. That is the way it is on the planet of good and evil. Both exist at the same time, but we are saved, or we are pulled out of that, because of what Jesus did. And Dean's going to talk a little bit more about next time when we talk about the fall. But what I would like you to think about is, as we're going to close in prayer here, and is like, what is, I want you to think about, this is what God intended for you, the good. We strive and strive and strive to be perfect on our own. He's already made that very good, very perfect. In this planet, we cannot achieve perfection on our own. We can't, and we won't. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay because of Christ and because of where we're going. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect. You're perfect, and we just ask that you bless us the rest of the service. Thank you for your very good creation, and that we're part of that, and that you've taken us out. One day you're taking us completely out, and you take us home to where we belong. And we look forward to that. In your name we pray. Amen.